The sermon text for tonight is the Acts passage, which Leona read out to us before, but there's also a little bit more which from chapter 2 of Acts, which I will use. As we prepare to hear God's word and to receive it with joy, let's pray. Heavenly Father, pour out your Holy Spirit on us, on your church, again and again. Please pour out your Holy Spirit on me as I speak and on each of us as we listen and hear your word tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Dear sisters and brothers in Christ, happy birthday for the church. Pentecost Day is often celebrated as the birthday of the church, the day when God fulfilled his ancient promises to pour out his Holy Spirit on all of his people. And God has gifts for us on this birthday celebration. The gift of the Holy Spirit. At the end of Peter's sermon in Acts chapter 2, it's actually beyond the part that Leona read to us, but Peter says to the people who are gathered there, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Now, this sermon is not about the gifts of the Spirit, which Paul speaks about in various books of the New Testament, things like speaking in tongues and prophecy. It's not about the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, patience. Who can finish that off? Anyone else? Excellent. All nine of them. Well done. It's about the gift of the Holy Spirit. And God's gift of the Holy Spirit is a many-faceted thing. It has multiple aspects, and we're going to look at some of those aspects that come out of the Acts chapter 2 passage tonight. So if you do want to open your Bible to Acts chapter 2, I'm not quite sure what page that is on, but that's what I will be referring to tonight. 771. Thanks, Jeremy. Peter says, "You will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Well, what is the gift of the Holy Spirit? First of all, the Holy Spirit is a person. One of the three persons who make up the Trinity of the eternal God. The Holy Spirit is not an impersonal force, kind of like the force in Star Wars. You know, we've had a lot of Star Wars references lately because some of you may know Star Wars Day. May the 4th be with you. Yes, it is really bad, but no, the Holy Spirit is not an impersonal force. It doesn't have a dark side and a light side. The Holy Spirit is a person. And that means that none of us can actually possess the Holy Spirit. The Spirit is not an object which can belong to us, but a personal being who has to give himself to us. I'm reluctant to use the masculine adjective because I think that maybe our language betrays us a bit. In English, somehow the Holy Spirit has become he. Yes, that's how we refer to the Spirit. In the Greek language, which the New Testament was written in, the Holy Spirit is not masculine or feminine, but neuter. But going back one step further, in the Hebrew scriptures, the word ruach, which is the word for breath and wind and spirit, is feminine. So maybe, just maybe, we should refer to the Holy Spirit as she. That would change our imagery somewhat, I think. How does a person give themselves to someone else? The best example I can think of in my own life is that of my wife. When we got married, we said to each other, "All that I have, I give to you." Sometimes there's still a bit of a fight over the last piece of chocolate, but that's okay. And then we said, "All that I am, I share with you." So a person has to give themselves to a person by sharing themselves with that person. As a person, rather than an impersonal force, the Holy Spirit communicates. The Holy Spirit communicates through the word, the good news proclaimed. And here in Acts chapter 2, we have this extended sermon by Peter telling people of the good news that Jesus is risen from the dead. The Holy Spirit also communicates through water. Through the water of baptism, where Peter says, "Be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Because we're physical people, the Holy Spirit uses physical means to communicate with us. Word, water, bread and wine. And that actually comes a little bit later in the book of Acts, where it says, "They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer." And that means to Holy Communion, the breaking of bread there. So the Holy Spirit is a person who gives himself or herself to you. God come to live with you. God come to live within you. A wonderful, wonderful gift. The Holy Spirit gives forgiveness of sins. Acts chapter 2, verse 37 to 38 is those very words that I read before. When the people heard what Peter said, they were cut to the heart, and they said to Peter and to the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" And Peter replies, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Before we can receive forgiveness of sin, though, the Holy Spirit does something else within us. And it happens to these people who listen to Peter. And that is that the Holy Spirit brings conviction of sin. We all need to be saved because we're all sinful. But unless we have been convicted of the seriousness of our own sin, we don't think that we need God's salvation. And this is painful. When the Holy Spirit convicts us, it actually hurts. Because part of repentance is feeling the impact of the thing that we have done wrong. Peter says to the people who are gathered in Jerusalem about Jesus, he says, "This man was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross." That's in verse 23. For you and me, it's the seriousness of our own sin that leads Jesus to the cross. And when the Holy Spirit brings conviction of sin, we know that it's not a laughing matter, that it's a life and death issue. But in the wake of the conviction of sins, the Holy Spirit gives repentance. Repentance is a change of mind. It's a change of direction. Repentance is stopping walking away from God and turning around to face him, only to find out that he is right there waiting to forgive, to embrace, and to be gracious. God's forgiveness is not dependent on our repentance, but our recognition of God's forgiveness is dependent on our repentance. And then the Holy Spirit pours out from God his forgiveness. And when you are forgiven, the Bible says that God throws our sins into the depths of the sea. He separates them as far from us as east is from the west. There is complete forgiveness. There is nothing that is too bad for God to forgive through the death of Jesus. And that's part of the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's first the conviction of sin, repentance, and that knowledge of sweet, sure, absolutely certain forgiveness, that now you are right in the eyes of God. Pastor Tim Keller, who is a pastor of a large church in the United States, put it this way. We can say that we are more wicked than we ever dared believe, but more loved and accepted in Christ than we ever dared hope at the same time. I love that because I think that's a great picture of the depth of profound love that God shows to us through his forgiveness. So what's next when we receive the gift of the Spirit? Well, one of the things that the Spirit brings and gives to us is joy. There's a couple of really interesting bits in here where the onlookers describe what is happening to Peter and all of the apostles from Acts chapter 2, verse 13 to 18. Some, however, made fun of them as they were standing up and proclaiming in different languages and said, "They have had too much wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk, as you suppose. No, this is what is spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams." And then verse 26. "Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will live in hope." There's a couple of places in the scripture where the work of the Holy Spirit, Ben's grinning, looks like a good bottle of red, doesn't it, Ben? Where the work of the Holy Spirit is compared in some way to being drunk, to having a bottle of wine, with all the good effects and none of the bad effects. So the boldness to be able to stand up in front of people and talk, that kind of comes with consumption of a bit of alcohol. The joy and the euphoria that you feel when you've had a couple of glasses and everything's good and it's mellow and the world looks great without the hangover afterwards. It's no accident that the work of the Holy Spirit is compared to wine. In fact, in Ephesians chapter 5, Paul says very much the same thing. He says, chapter 5, verse 18, "Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit." The Spirit brings joy. The Spirit brings gladness and boldness and social connectedness to people. And that is a joyful thing. The Spirit also gives hope. Hope to God's people. And right at the heart of what Peter proclaims on Pentecost Day is that Jesus is risen. That the tomb was empty. That death has been overcome. Acts 2, verse 26 to 32. Listen to what Peter says here. He is quoting from a psalm of David. "Therefore my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will live in hope, because you will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence." And then Peter gives a commentary on the psalm. "Brothers, I can tell you confidently that the patriarch David died and was buried, and his tomb is here to this day. You can go and visit it. You can go and look at the tomb of David. But he was a prophet and knew that God had promised him on oath that he would place one of his descendants on his throne. Seeing what was ahead, he spoke of the resurrection of the Christ, that he was not abandoned to the grave, nor did his body see decay. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of this fact." Holy Spirit brings hope. Death has been conquered. Jesus' body did not rot in the grave. And also, in the same way, we will be raised. We will be resurrected and given new life through the resurrection of Jesus. Death is not the end. It's been conquered. There is hope. Hope that lasts even beyond what the world calls the end of life. The Spirit gives new life. You can kind of wrap all of these things that I've been saying, which come with the gift of the Spirit, up in this one concept. New life. Remember how in the beginning God breathed into the human and he became a living creature? He put his breath, his ruach, his spirit into the human? Well, this is what's happening once again at Pentecost. The sound of the rushing wind and the disciples being filled with the Holy Spirit. Breath of God to give new life to people who were spiritually dead. Spiritual CPR, starting our hearts and our lungs again, breathing in the Spirit of God. The Spirit gives salvation. God saves us. He does it through the resurrection of Jesus. He pours out his Holy Spirit so that we can know and trust in Jesus. Peter says in Acts 2, verse 21, "Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." And then in verse 36, he says, "Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." The Holy Spirit helps us to believe the good news about Jesus. And as we believe that good news, we receive God's salvation. Receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Not just today, on this day when we celebrate the birthday of the church, but each and every day, receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, which brings forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. Happy birthday, church. Enjoy your present, the gift of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And the peace of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit and the love of Jesus Christ will keep your hearts and your minds in our Lord now and always.